And now, back to Hebrews. You can be very, scholarly with this. It doesn't help that it makes the floor move, but we got into the discussion of peace and pursuing peace last week, and I just barely hinted at the second part of that sentence last week, and that's where we're going to pick up this week, and probably as far as we are going to go is the next bit there. Verse 14, Hebrews chapter 12, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And first of all, the second part of that, without which no one will see the Lord, raises some huge questions that are going to have to be talked about. And how far we get into that today, we'll see. But just the very word holiness brings all sorts of different things to mind and maybe some misconceptions. One thing that struck me as I was studying this is that we may have a kind of vague idea of what is meant by holiness. What does it mean to pursue holiness, to seek to be holy? Now, I threw in last week, I mentioned the one critical thing that is important to remember in there is that one of the senses of holiness that is talked about is separation, that it's to be distinct, to be unique. Now that just kind of touches on the definition, but that's one of the really important pieces, is that holiness is a distinction. It's something which stands out from the crowd around. But the basic ideas of what holiness is really have to go back into the Old Testament, clear back into the law, and look at where this begins. I'm going to take us back to Leviticus. And in Leviticus chapter 19, we have... And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And so the very beginning of this idea of holiness is tied into the connection to God. Be holy because I am holy. God is holy. He is in most respects, he is the actual working definition of what is meant by holiness. He is separated from us by his holiness. And when we have that injunction to be holy because he is holy, we can kind of take that as, be Christ-like. Be like God. Imitators of God is what we're being called on to do. And holiness then has a component in it there of action, of what we do. Now, along with that, I'm going to take us back to another spot back here. And I'm going to take us back to... Exodus 3:5, and see a beginning of the discussion, or an earlier part of the discussion of this. And this is where Moses is at the burning bush. He's up out shepherding, and he comes upon this bush which is on fire, and it's not burning up. And so in verse 3, then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. And that introduces us to that idea that that holiness is also represented in places. It's represented in events, that things have holiness associated with them. So we've got something which is getting broader and broader and broader as the more we study it. And we have in, I'm going to go back to Leviticus again. I think I wrote down the right verse here. Let me look at it and see if... No, I didn't write down the right verse. Okay, that's a repeat of Leviticus 2, basically. For I am the Lord your God, I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. The verse that I was looking for is where the priests are being set apart, and they are told when they go to do the sacrifices and things, they are given instructions. They are to wash themselves and then put on their holy garments. There's those objects that have holiness as part of them. But they are to wash themselves before they put on those things, before they go in to do the work in the tabernacle, the work of offering sacrifices. And that kind of opens up this other part of the definition of what holiness is. And that's the idea of purity, of cleanness. That holiness is not just a separation, but it is a pure state. And that there is this, again, with Moses and his taking off the sandals, the idea that you go into something where it is cleaner than what is around. It has a different status there. And so we've got holiness in all of these different things going on, and we're told, you know, you're supposed to be holy because God is holy, and that means you'll basically be separated from the world and separated to God, and to be pure, to be clean in a way that reflects God, because God is that definition of what is pure, what is right, and what is moral and proper. And so the definition takes in this whole batch of things, but when we look at what God told his people that specifically directed them into holiness, we hit some of these little things, and the one that always kind of grabs me. And in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26, he tells the people, "And you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine." And he's making a declaration that they are going to be holy because he has separated them. He's made a distinction. And he's just given them a whole list of instructions to follow. That's what this is, the termination of this list of instructions. They're not supposed to eat all these unclean things and all that. But if you back up in Leviticus 20 to verse 22, he says, "You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them." You know, this is the introduction to that idea of holiness, is that they're going to keep the law. They're going to do the things that God has called them to do. This is what defines the purity that he wants from them that will make them holy. So he's going to set them apart, and I love the way the old King James, you know, uses the word, make you a peculiar people. That's always stuck in my mind, that we are a peculiar people, set apart to God. They are a distinct, they're going to be different. But there in verse 26, he finishes that up, "I have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine." The separation is to be of service to God. And there's a big clue in this whole business of holiness, is that holiness serves God. It's for his purpose and his end. It doesn't serve us. We are not holy because it gets us a better job, or it helps us get along better with our neighbors or whatever. Now, it might help us with some of these things. But holiness is God-focused. And this is where we want to make a little bit of a difference between righteousness and holiness, which are very similar in some of the practical application aspects. But holiness is primarily God-focused. And holiness is always going to come with both an external component of things that we do, because God gives instructions. He says, be holy, you know, do these things, and they are things that render you holy or that are part of exercising holiness. But there is also an internal component to holiness, because holiness is ultimately about what is inside of us, about how we look and approach God, how we think about Him. Because all of the actions, and we've got lots of actions, holiness is the intention of the law. As you read through the law, that phrase about be holy for I am holy is one that characterizes God's instructions throughout the law. As He's telling people, do these things, these define holy behavior. Do this stuff, that makes you holy. But ultimately, it comes down to you can do all of those things and still not have genuine holiness. See, you can fake the actions. This is why when we come up into the New Testament, we see Jesus dealing with the religious leaders of His time, and He's talking to the Pharisees who were really good at doing the things that defined holiness. You know, they were good at the proper washing, and Jesus even picks on them about this, that, you know, you wash your utensils, your dishes, you wash the outside so it looks good, but the inside is corrupt. You know, you do all of your rituals of cleanliness, which is focused on holiness in their eyes, but it's really just show. Anybody can put on a show. I saw a movie, and I can't remember what the movie was at this point, but there was a preacher in the movie who was one of the good guys. You know, and he was presented, he was devout, he was godly, he was helping people, he was doing all of this stuff. And in the movie, you know, he was very convincing as this person. And just out of curiosity, because the character in the movie caught my attention, I went to the Internet Movie Database online and I looked up the actor who played this preacher. And boy, talk about being miscast. It was horrible. Not a good person at all. And I thought, okay, this tells you something about holiness. You can make it look good. And it can look good to people. But it doesn't look good to God unless it's coming from inside. You know, Jesus talks about this. He says, you know, it's not what you eat that matters. It's what's in your heart. What comes out of you is what is going to determine your righteousness. This is where real holiness is in what comes out of you. Are you really separated to God in your heart? Or is your heart embedded in the world? And you're just going through motions to look like you're following God. Because ultimately, holiness, as he says here in Hebrews 12, holiness is not about what we're doing in this world. He says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And so we slam right up against one of those really challenging verses. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now, let's make one thing perfectly clear here. This is not saying that we earn salvation. It's not saying that we do these works of holiness and that's how we get to see God. In fact, that would kind of be the opposite of where he goes with it. One of the things that we have to look at is how things are translated and the the sense of the words. Because when it talks about seeing in the cultural, at the time, the culture that he's writing this in, is that to see is not just to visually be there, not just to have that recognition, but he's saying that only those who are holy are going to be able to comprehend God. Only those who are holy are able to understand the reality of God. And so there's that idea of understanding which is in that idea of knowing God. Because the truth is, we come to God by the Holy Spirit working in us, but we respond to that, and what is going on within us is where true holiness is. We separate ourselves from the world. When Jesus says to repent, that's to separate ourselves from our sin, to separate ourselves from where we have been. Literally, the word repent means to change your direction or change your thinking. And so we separate ourselves. We create holiness in repentance. And we build that holiness within ourselves. We exercise that. Now, I talked about pursuing peace. This is something that we work at. We have to exercise ourselves and make conscious efforts to make that happen. Holiness, the external works of holiness, fall out from a proper internal condition. And as I was looking at this, as I was considering, how do we get there? What is a practical way of looking at this? Matthew 5:8, in the Beatitudes, Jesus says, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. And the idea of seeing God, coming into God's presence, the pure of heart, what makes for that pure heart? What makes us acceptable in God's eyes? Obviously it's not our own ability to do things, because none of us is able to be righteous in God's eyes by our own actions. But when we look, I want to take us to Galatians chapter 5. This is going to be real familiar. The actions of holiness, the works of holiness, we've got the opposites here. That's talk about the works of the flesh. This is the contrary to holiness. The works of the flesh are evident: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. He gives quite a list, and this is the opposite of holiness. And he goes on then to talk about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are things which are reflective of genuine holiness. But they are, as he says, the fruit of the Spirit. They're the things that come from having the Holy Spirit in us. They are the natural result of the action of the Holy Spirit in us. And we strengthen those things. We work on those things. We build them up. If we want to pursue holiness, to be able to have that relationship with God where we understand, we comprehend God, we have to also exercise ourselves to make these things happen. And one of the things that has always been an inspiring verse to me is Philippians 4. Verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, what comes out of us is a reflection of what is in us. And what is in us is a reflection of where we put our mind and our attention. And this has always moved me, because I'm one of those that, you know, you watch the news and you get incredibly depressed looking at all the horrible stuff that's going on in the world. And I find myself looking at that thinking, oh, you know, it's all falling apart. And I go back and I think about something like this. The nastiness of the world breaks down our holiness when we dwell on that. He says, don't dwell on those ugly, nasty, unpleasant things. What are you dwelling on? Dwell on what is noble. Dwell on what is just, what is pure, what is lovely. The things that bring a good report from God. The virtues, the things that are virtuous, praiseworthy. Meditate on these things. Let those be the things that fill up your heart and your mind. Think about the good things. Let those be the things that fill you up. Because those are the things that are of God. And when we fill ourselves with those, when we meditate on the good, we separate ourselves from the world. Because that good that we are thinking about becomes the good that we do. And the actions of holiness become an outcome of an internal state of holiness. We don't achieve that relationship, that close knowledge of God that he's talking about here. He says, you know, we'll see God. We don't achieve that by the outward actions. We achieve that by an inward commitment to look on the things of God, the things which are godly, because that's really what that list is saying. You know, all of this good stuff, meditate on these good things. Meditate on things which are godly, things which please God. Look him in the face and see that he is good. Let that fill you up. Let that make you separated from the world. Let that purify you from all the stuff that's ugly and nasty around us. Purify yourselves. Set yourselves apart. That's true holiness, is to be set apart, knowing God, filled with a heart that dwells on the Lord. The actions come. If your heart is full of God, your actions will not be contrary to that. An actor can fake it for the film, but we can't fake it for God, because he's looking at your heart, and that's the holiness that we want to pursue. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask that as we think about what it means to be holy, you are incredibly holy. You are pure and righteous and perfect, and your law is just, it sets up everything that we should do to be like you, and we just can't do that. But we thank you, Lord, that through your Spirit, you give us an ability to be filled with the fruit of your Spirit. And that as we're filled with that fruit and we work with that, we are able to turn our eyes away from the world and look fully at you. And I pray that as we do this, Lord, that we would become holy inside, and that that holiness would show up in our walk outside, and that the world would look at us and see us as those separate, distinct people, not like the world, but set apart and like you, Lord. Make us holy, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.